Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Anatomy of a Fall, The Burial, and A Fire.
Well, I've got three movies to talk about today, and they're all good movies, actually, although different degrees of good. But yeah, they're all very well worth seeing. I want to start off with Anatomy of a Fall, which is a French movie and which won the top prize at the Cannes Film Festival earlier this year. And I want to say just a word about that. That's always a selling point for any sort of an art film, winning the Palme d'Or, the Golden Palm, at the renowned Cannes Film Festival. I went to the Cannes Film Festival when I was a bit more of a working newspaper film critic, and I went there year after year after year after year. And I have to say, very often, what won the big prizes was sort of a mystery to all the rest of us. The prizes are not decided by the great number of people, the huge thousands of people who flock there. The prizes are decided by a jury, and the jury is different every year, and they presumably know what they're doing, and sometimes they definitely know what they're doing. But I have to say, I remember one year in particular when I was at the press screening of a particular movie, and the press screening has thousands of people in it, and people were hooting at the movie. It was just a movie that people thought was absolutely ridiculous and terrible, and it ended up winning the top prize and one or two other prizes as well from the jury. The jury is sort of sequestered into its own little spaces, and I think is only dimly aware of what the great majority of people at the festival are thinking and doing. So sometimes the results can be rather peculiar. Of course, sometimes the jury can be, I think, more on the mark than the great bulk of journalists and other observers who were there at the festival. But I'm just saying that when you see that a movie won the top prize at the Cannes Film Festival, it means that a small number of people gave it that prize, not a very large number of experts. That said, Anatomy of a Fall did win the top prize. It was directed and co-written by Justine Triet, and it's a very, very good movie. Not, I think, a great movie, not a masterpiece or anything like that, but a very good movie. So what we have here is basically a kind of a courtroom drama, although a lot of it does not take place in the courtroom. And it starts off with a very interesting scene. One of the main characters is a writer. In fact, she is the main character, as it turns out. And she's being interviewed by a journalist. And this is the very, very beginning of the movie. And it's going to take you by surprise because the two main characters can hardly hear, or the two characters in the scene, can hardly hear each other because there is enormously loud music blasting away from somewhere. They're in the writer's house, and they're just shouting at each other, and this enormously loud music just blasting, and eventually they have to call the interview off, and the journalist goes home, and then we finally discover what was going on here. The writer's husband, who is also a writer, loves to play his music really, really loud and really doesn't like to turn it off. So he was allowed to blast his music, even though it was interfering with his official interview that was taking place. And this sets you up right from the beginning to know a couple of things. First of all, this will be in some ways an unusual movie. I mean, an opening scene where two people are shouting at each other and you yourself in the audience can barely hear either one of them. That's interesting. Secondly, this movie is going to be very much about tensions that have taken place within that household where the husband seems to be allowed to do things even at the extreme displeasure and even discomfort of the wife. That said, the husband doesn't survive very long into the movie. Because the next thing that happens is we see the son, the young son, he's a boy, of the writer and her husband, who we still haven't met. We see him go for a walk, and we start with his dog. And by the way, they're out in the middle of the Alps somewhere, so it's very snowy. They live in a chalet. And the boy, we realize, is blind. He can't see, and the dog is sort of guiding him, but he clearly knows his way around. Then the boy comes back to the house, the chalet, and there is his father, the husband, who we hadn't seen yet, dead. He has fallen evidently or been pushed or something from an upper story of the chalet and is lying dead in the snow. So that is the setup for the movie. We have a household where evidently there is some sort of tension. We have now a dead husband. And then we have the bulk of the movie, which is all about the, as the title says, anatomy of a fall. What was this? Was he pushed? Did he fall? What caused this? What happened here? What is going on? So we have various characters in this movie. For example, we have a lawyer who is investigating this and representing the writer, who, as the wife, she immediately becomes a possible suspect if it turns out that foul play was involved. And then we have various other characters who come along. Again, it's about the investigation of this death, and it's about the eventually the court case that develops out of all this. Yes, the wife and mother does go on trial for possibly be the murderer of her husband. And so we have other, of course, characters who enter into this courtroom situation. And we discover that there's all kinds of ambiguities here. Yes, it is very possible that the husband was, in fact, hit over the head and killed and then pushed down, or it's possible that he simply fell down and bumped his head onto a lower roof before hitting the snow below, etc., etc. And all of this does result, I will reveal now, in a verdict before the end of the film, but I certainly won't reveal what the verdict is. So that is what The Anatomy of a Fall is all about. It's not only, of course, the anatomy of a fall. It is an anatomy of this marriage, an anatomy of the rivalries between the husband and wife. Various other facts emerge over the course of the film. The fact, for example, that the writer, the woman who was at the center of the film, was also bisexual. This turns out to be not a very big deal, but it turns out to be a small deal in terms of what might have happened and the tensions between the husband and wife. And eventually, the dead husband does appear in a flashback scene, and we see quite a bit of him as well. It's a fascinating movie. It's a fairly long movie, well over 2 hours, about 2.5 hours, in fact, but it held my attention every step of the way. It is beautifully acted, very, very elegantly directed, and it's just a very involving story of a death, of the reasons for that death, of the tensions that may or may not explain how that death happened, and I just found it quite fascinating to watch. So this is a case where I would say that the winner of the top prize at the Cannes Film Festival really maybe deserved to win. It's a good movie, and I highly recommend it. It's playing pretty widely right now, and it's well worth seeking out. Anatomy of a Fall. It's a good movie. Now, my next movie today, The Burial, which, by the way, is streaming, so it's very easy to see, is also pretty much a courtroom movie. In this case, it was directed by Maggie Betts. And, oh, it has a very good cast, featuring primarily Tommy Lee Jones and Jamie Foxx. And what we have here is the story, basically, of the Tommy Lee Jones character. And he owns a chain of funeral homes. Interesting profession to be in, but of course there are plenty of people who are in that profession. And he owns a number of funeral homes, and business has not been going well for him. So he decides he's going to sell one of the funeral homes to this big business person, an executive, who is buying up funeral homes all over the place. So yes, the Tommy Lee Jones character thinks this will be a good idea. I will sell, because my business is in trouble right now, I will sell my funeral, one of my funeral homes, to this big executive. His name, by the way, the Tommy Lee Jones character, his name is Jeremiah. I will sell one of my funeral homes, and that will give me some money to keep my other funeral homes going. And by the way, he also owns a burial insurance business, which is also important in the story. So okay, that's fine. Very, very beginning of the movie, he's going to sell one of his funeral homes. Then it turns out that somehow the deal never quite gets closed. The guy who's going to buy from him, the executive, just doesn't close the deal. And eventually, partly due to advice from his lawyer, Jeremiah realizes that this other guy might be trying to wait him out. The other guy realizes that business has not been going very well for Jeremiah. And maybe if he waits a little bit longer, Jeremiah will actually go bankrupt. And then the executive will be able to buy up all of his funeral homes really, really cheaply. So, okay, that's the setup for the story. And then eventually Jeremiah decides, well, he'd better go to court about this. He's better do something about this deal, which is somehow never closed. And so he hires a lawyer, and there we get our other fascinating main character of this movie, played by Jamie Foxx. Now, this takes place in Mississippi, in the South, where race is connected, very strongly connected, with pretty much everything. And white Tommy Lee Jones, playing Jeremiah, hires black Willie Gary, played by Jamie Foxx. By the way, all this is based on a very real case. Jamie Foxx is the opposite of Jeremiah's character. That is to say, Jeremiah is quiet, middle-aged, very, 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 very restrained in everything he does, whereas Willie Gary, the black lawyer played by Jamie Foxx, is loud and snappy and flashy. So we have a fascinating contrast between these two characters. And, of course, various other characters enter as the movie goes along. It turns into a great big court case. Another lawyer comes in on the side of the executive, also a black lawyer and a black female lawyer, and a fascinating relationship develops between her and Jamie Foxx's lawyer, and well, all kinds of things happen, some of them very strongly connected with race, some of them not particularly connected with race, but just with business. But those things are really, really intertwined here. And by the way, going on at the same time of this, and I repeat, this is all based on a very real case, the O.J. Simpson trial is going on at the same time, and the lawyer played by Jamie Foxx is really thinking that he's going to be the next Johnny Cochran in the O.J. Simpson case. We even see little clips from the O.J. Simpson trial over the course of the movie, and that adds another dimension to it. So, The Burial is not a very deep movie. It's not a very sophisticated movie. It basically is about good guys and bad guys and who's going to win this case and all of that. And I found some parts of it kind of implausible, actually, even though it's based on a real case. When a movie manages to sometimes have you say, wait, I don't believe that, and it's based on a real case, you figure that the screenplay is at fault for this. But that said, I had a good time watching The Burial. It's just a lot of fun to watch, and it has some suspense, and it has some wonderful characters, especially Jamie Foxx's flashy, snappy lawyer. Recommended. The Burial. Don't bury it. Go see it. It's a good movie. And the final movie for today is a movie called A Fire. And this is by the very fine German director Christian Petzold. And he's had a number of movies that have reached American screens. Transit is one just a few years ago. Barbara, which was around 10 years ago. So he's a major filmmaker, and he's had a pretty strong presence on American screens. A Fire deals with a couple of friends. They are both very young and just sort of starting out their careers as creative people. One of them is a writer, the other one is an artist. And they're going off. The artist's mother owns a vacation home, not a fancy one, but a little vacation home, sort of out in the woods. And they go out there to work on some work they have to get done. The writer has to finish up a novel, which he's writing for his publisher, who is waiting for the final manuscript, and the artist has to put together an art portfolio, which has to be for an application he's making very soon. So they go off to this vacation home, and then they discover that the woman who owns it, who is the artist's mother, has also allowed another person to stay there, a young woman who neither one of these young guys knows at all. So she's also staying there. She's paying some money, and she's hired the place. So, okay, so she'll stay in one part of the house, and they'll stay in another part of the house, and then it'll be okay. But, of course, they all get to know each other, and various complications and relationships and rivalries and that sort of thing develop. Now, it's not one of these real movies about a love triangle. It's not that somebody falls in love with a young woman and then the other one gets jealous or anything like that. It's a little bit subtler than that and a little bit more complicated than that. A lot of it has to do with the artist wanting to goof off all the time and the writer trying to constantly get him to please get his work done. Come on, that's what we came here for in the first place. So we have a lot of that stuff going on. And then eventually some other characters enter the movie as well. There is a young lifeguard at the beach nearby. And he does develop a romantic relationship with a young woman. And then there is also the publisher, who was waiting for that manuscript all the time. He shows up, and he's an older man, and he turns out to have health problems, and more complications ensue with that. Now, I have to stress that this movie, which is called A Fire, does eventually develop some real little bit of sort of action and even suspense, because there turns out to be a fire in the region, in the nearby woods, and there's a little bit of worry that the fire may approach and get to the house that they're all staying in. But mainly, this movie is not about that sort of thing. It's not about big drama. It's not about big suspense. It's about the little, almost microscopic relationships among these main characters, the writer, the artist, the young woman, and then eventually the lifeguard and the publisher, and how they sort of play off against each other, and what their sexuality might be, which of course enters into it, and just their general feelings of being in very close quarters, even though they're in this vacation home. There's not a whole lot of empty space around, and just sort of being stuck with each other and the various little tensions that arise. A Fire is a very, very beautifully made drama. It's beautiful. Acted by all concerned, and it moves along at a very gratifying pace. It's never rushed. It's never too slow. I'll say again, it held my attention from beginning to end, even though not a whole lot of dramatic stuff happens in it. So it's another movie I can recommend, A Fire. I'm not saying that it was a film that set my emotions afire, but it held my attention, and I really had a good time watching it. Beautifully directed by a very fine German director, Christian Petzold. And that is my somewhat international story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Anatomy of a Fall, The Burial, and A Fire.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.